Let's pray. Well, God, I want to thank you for this opportunity to be together once more to lift up your son and to honor you for the gift of your son. We praise you, Father, for all that you have done and are continuing to do in our lives. But we also recognize, Father, that we are to bring requests to you, concerns, petitions, because you care, and that acknowledges that we know you care, and that we also are acknowledging through faith that you care enough to intervene, and you have power to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. So we're asking you, Father, to be with those who are recovering from surgeries, those who, Father, are having some tests or some surgeries, procedures that are coming over the next few days and weeks, and Father, for those who are grieving, those whose hearts are broken, those who are anxious, those who are worried, those, Father, who are feeling alone. God, I pray that not only would you, through your Spirit, touch the hearts of all these people and let them know of your presence and love, but Father, you would use us. We volunteer to be your servants, to make a difference, to come alongside, to be agents of help and peace and comfort ourselves. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for Jesus. In his name, amen. We're going to be completing today the series we began during the season of Thanksgiving. And we're going to be talking a little bit about Thanksgiving traditions, at least for starters, Thanksgiving traditions. Any of you have any Thanksgiving traditions? You know, things that you kind of routinely have done with your family, with your friends. Maybe you're one of those people that keeps making new traditions, you know, year after year, kind of changing them up a little bit. I've been really surprised at my girls, how attached they got to family traditions. And if we'd change something up, they'd be like, well, how come we're not doing that the way we did before? How come we're not doing... So, well, cool your jets. You know, we're going to do that, or we are going to do that, or we're going to do that a bit differently, or whatever. But we can get attached to traditions. Traditions can be very, very good. And but when I talk to people about Thanksgiving traditions, the most frequent responses, well, there's three of them. You ready for them? Family, football, and food. Would you agree that those are kind of the three things that come to our minds right away? Those things, and if I'm honest, and you know, usually the order of this is the other way around when I ask people, well, food comes first. Food is the first thing on their radar, if you will. And that can be true of me, too. Turkey and dressing. Mm-hmm. Or should I have ham and sweet potatoes? Or mashed potatoes and gravy? Well, yeah. Why not all of them? Right, yeah. Can I have both of those or all of that? Sure. The answer is yes. I look forward to the green bean casserole. I really do. I like that. The broccoli salad. The cream-style corn, if you prefer, you know, just the regular corn, the sweet baby corn, that's fine. I like the sweet baby carrots, too. And boy, those warm buttered crescent rolls. Boy, those are great. And for dessert, I like pumpkin pie. I like pecan pie. To be honest, I like pie. I just like pie. And, you know, you got to have the topping, right, to top it off. You got to have the topping, whether it is Cool Whip, or it's ready whip, or it's home whipped, whatever, just get it on there, boy, and it's good. It, boy, sweetens it up, even makes it nicer and more presentable, and goes down well, doesn't it? Cranberry sauce, it's not my favorite. I will confess that. It's not my favorite, but I usually have some because of tradition. We usually make some, and it's on the side, and I have some. Now, sometimes I might even have a little bit more, you know, just think, well, it wasn't that bad. But it's just not my favorite, but it's there, so I eat some of that as well. And you maybe have some of your own traditional Thanksgiving dinners. Maybe for you it's pizza. I don't know, but maybe it's something just a little different, depending upon your upbringing. But can you relate to that idea of having that? Maybe we nibble a bit, for starters. You just get a taste of everything. A little bite, just a little bite. Then we dig in. Eventually, we're going to dig in, right? Some of us do more than just ingest it. We devour it, right? And we gobble up the turkey. We pig out on the ham. We wolf down the sides. And when we've cleaned our plate, you'd think we'd be done, right? But then some of us go back later and graze at the table. you know, at least during halftime. You know, and then maybe later we go back and we're pecking and picking, you know, this and that. And we're hoping there's going to be some leftovers, right? Some leftovers for maybe tomorrow, you know, maybe even the day after that. My mom, one of the traditions in our family is that as the leftovers got less and less, then she'd kind of put things together and mix them up a little bit. It was a Thanksgiving medley. Not singing. But a food. It might be a turkey casserole with some corn in it. But it might be mixed together. I don't know. But it was good. It was good. And we enjoyed it. Now that I've confessed to my gluttony, and some of you have nodded in agreement that you have maybe a tendency to overdo, eat a little bit too much, you know, during the Thanksgiving holidays. I don't know how many people I've talked to have been saying, you know what, I'm going to kind of go easy right now. I'm not going to eat very much right now because I'm saving up for, the holidays, you know. I'm saving up so I'll have some calories that I can take on, you know, to make up for those I've been doing without. Or maybe just like me and say, yeah, let's go full steam ahead. Shouldn't be doing that, though. But, you know, as we think about that, I'm humbled to think about what a great and wonderful feast that I so often have been blessed to be able to take part in. Not everyone can have such a sumptuous feast. Not everyone can. Some of you have heard about the holiday gathering at my daughter Mandy's house in Ohio. When just we were about to have our meal, a homeless man came to the door. He was offering to shovel the walk, to clear the walk. Now, there was just a light dusting of snow. I mean, there probably wasn't even an inch. But he came and he knocked on the door and he said, you know, I'll shovel your walk for a couple bucks. And, we said, you don't have to do that. If you need some money, we'll help you. He said, no. I'll shovel. So we said, yeah, we agreed. We'd do that. Got him a shovel because he didn't have one. And he went out and was clearing the walk. And while he was doing that, we passed the hat because thought, you know, he needs more than a few bucks. So we passed the hat. And then my son-in-law Levi and I went out and we kind of helped with the last little bit of clearing because, like I said, there wasn't much. And we invited him to come in and have dinner with us. And he declined. He said, no, thank you. But the ladies were already gathering up, you know, a feast for him to take away, some holiday food. And he was thankful for that, and we gave him the offering. And in the process of that, we asked him if he believed in Jesus. And he said, oh, yeah. And he said he accepted him as a young man, but he had gone astray. And he knew that he needed to really get back. So we prayed with him about that and invited him to join the family at church that Sunday. And he said, well, I might just do that. Might just do that. And then he went on his way. 2 days later, my son-in-law called me. He was a volunteer fireman at the time to tell me that he'd been called to the scene of a tragic and fatal accident at the rail yard. And it was the very man who had come to the door. I had some mixed emotions, you know, when I got that call, and even do today. As I thought about, well, could we have done more? Could we have done more? Should we have done more? What else could we have done? And then it occurred to me, well, at least he didn't die hungry. And then I almost thought, well, that's a flippant thought. It just didn't seem. Then I thought, well, praise God, thank God, that what he didn't die with was loneliness without the Lord. Because he did say, I need him. I admit that. And we prayed with him about that. And he said, at least his intent, he told us, was yes, to start following him again. So that's the good news. That's the happy ending of the sad story, if you will. And today, and just about every holiday meal, but a lot of times in between, I can't help but think about the children in Haiti. When we went there for our mission trip in 2017, to see these children just so thrilled to get this plate of brown rice with some kind of broth over it and a little piece of fish, how thrilled they were, and the way they gobbled that up and they wolfed that down. And they devoured that and even wanted more. But they did that, and just think about how much we have and how little others do. Well, it really affects me, I'll be honest with you, that when I look at a big sumptuous feast, I can't quite look at it like I used to. I'm thankful for it, praise God for it. There are times in Scripture where it says in celebration, it talks about feasts and having feasts. There's nothing wrong with that. But always with that feast, there's the idea of sharing. Inviting people in to that feast. And sharing with those that we can, who maybe can't come to the feast to do that. So, as we think about joining in a Thanksgiving feast, we should think about others. We should. In fact, John the Apostle's words in 1 John 3, 16-17 may move us to ask, what's missing from the table when we gather at the table? What's missing? Not who's missing. There might be someone missing. But what's missing from the table? In verse 16 of the text, it says this: this is how we know what love is. Christ gave his life for us. Now that's how we know what true love, what real love is. I think we get that. How many of you would say you get that? You know that. You understand that. He says we know. How many of you know that? That true love, genuine love, is demonstrated in how Christ gave his life for us. That's the real deal. You know that. We know that. But not everyone does. Not everyone does. The expression of thanksgiving that I do hear most from believers, now again, from believers, is that they're thankful for God's love, the gift of Jesus. They're thankful for that. They're thankful for the gift of love in Christ, the sacrifice he made. They're thankful for that. They're thankful that Jesus laid down his life. They're thankful for that. They're thankful, they're grateful that God loves them still, because his love is enduring and forever and consistent. That he has saved them, and as we talked about last week, that he saved others, even that they know. They're thankful for that. They are. Gratitude for God's love should be brought to the table, shouldn't it? It really should. But sometimes that is missing. Not from our table, maybe, but from so many tables at Thanksgiving time. And it's not because, and I don't mean this critically, it's not because that they are trying to leave God out of the picture. Maybe they don't know God. Maybe they don't understand the provision of God in their lives. They don't recognize it. They're gathered around the table, but they don't recognize that God is the one who provided the food in the table. God's the one who provided the family that's gathered around the table. God's the one who provided the table. God's the one who provided the big screen TV that they can watch that football on. God is the one who provided the car that's now in the driveway that they might have drove to get there to that house that they're meeting in that's warm and wonderful, and they've got this beautiful situation. God. And so often there are people, again, who will gather and they may express thanks to one another even, which is a good thing, but not acknowledge God's provision in it all. And again, once again, I don't mean that critically. It's a lack of understanding, maybe, comprehension. They may be clueless about it. So the idea of being thankful for God's love expressed in Christ, well, that's not at the table because, well, they don't know about it. Or they don't think it's for them, or they haven't experienced it. So that's not brought to the table. That's sad. But what is sadder still, I believe, is for those believers who come to the table, who do express gratitude for that, but don't recognize what else maybe that God has to say on the subject. Because in John 3:17, John has more to say about those who do acknowledge Jesus, who thank God for him, who see the blessings that are in their lives from him. And his words should prompt us to think of again what might be missing. Reading on, he says that we who know God's love in Christ, we too then ought to give our lives for others. If we have the means to help but close our hearts when we see others in need, how can we claim that we have the love of God in us? Wow. So as we gather, and we have so much, if we don't, you know, consider, well, that there are others in need that I should share with when I can, then is the love of God really present at the table? We may say, I'm thankful for that love, but is it present at the table if our hearts, see, aren't going out to those who have less, the unfortunate? Do you see the connection? What's maybe missing at the table? What I think is interesting there, I've shared this with a few of you in the past too, that this expression about closing our hearts, there's different translations that have different ways of wording that. They may say that we are having no compassion on other people. The literal Greek, and again, I apologize for doing that again, but it really impressed me when I first recognized it. The King James hits it closest, where it says, they shut up the bowels of mercy. It's kind of a graphic thing. Okay, so it's talking about that the flow that should happen natural, when the love of God comes in us, it should come out of us. And we're closing that up, see, if we're not sharing, we're not having compassion. The love's coming in, but it's not going out. Dare I say, we are benevolently constipated? That's the idea. That's the concept. Didn't mean to put you off for food. But that's the concept. That's the idea. That's what John is saying. See, gratitude for God's love in Christ should produce compassion. It should produce within us hearts that want to do to others, love them as we've been loved, to share with them as God has blessed us. That's what it should do. If it's truly there, John is saying, it will. So if that's not happening, the question is it really there? Is the gratitude for the love of God really there? Loving concern for the less fortunate should never be missing from the table. Would you agree? Should never be missing. Still, if we don't see anyone in need, because that's what John says, if we see someone in need, you know, and we don't help, well, if we don't see anybody in need, then we're off the hook, right? We needn't be concerned if we don't see anybody in need. Well, unless we go through this world and this life with spiritual blinders, we can't help but see need all around us. Correct? And matter of fact, I think that's what happens is we see so much of it that's hard for us to take in, and it's hard for us to even deal with in our hearts, let alone, and you know, we feel overwhelmed by it. We feel like, what can I do about it? We feel incapable, and we just see, we're just bombarded with the images, are we not, these days? More than, I was talking about this in our men's class the other day and Sunday night as well, that we're just bombarded now through the information highway to see the needs throughout the world, not just in our neighborhoods, but throughout the world. And we can be so overwhelmed that I think we become spiritually callous to it and blind to it if we're not careful. If we're not careful. So what do we do? What do we do about that? We're going to have some prayer time, I think. And ask God to, again, open those eyes of our heart to be able to see the needs around us. And ask Him to show us, what can I do? A family emailed me just this week and asked if I knew of anywhere where they could serve over the holidays. I wonder what motivated that. Do you know of anywhere we could serve? Or we could help somebody? Good question. A question we should all ask. Is there anywhere? And sometimes it's not a matter of having to get connected with a parachurch organization. Sometimes it's just open our eyes to who's around us and what needs there are. And so many times it's not financial. Sometimes it's not giving them a piece of turkey. It's giving them a little bit of our own heart, isn't it? Giving them some time, praying with them, putting an arm around them, encouraging them, yeah. But as James would say, if that's all we do when we have the means to help and don't do anything, and John says as well, then is that really a prayer of faith? Is that really the love of Christ in us. Now, I don't want to connect dots that don't exist, but reading in Colossians this past week, I came to rest on some very convicting statements by the Apostle Paul. The first is in chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. He says this, "Just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, overflowing with what? Thankfulness." How many of you have received Christ Jesus as your Lord? How many of you are living in Him? See, that's the thing. See, living in Him, living in a relationship with Him. People have accepted Him as Savior, but not as Lord. If you receive Him as Lord, you're going to be living in a relationship with Him. You're going to be doing that. Strengthen the faith as you were taught. And again, what will be the result of that? Overflowing thankfulness. Overflowing thankfulness. I think that's kind of neat. The text suggests to me that the love of Christ will overflow into thanks living. And that's not a misspeak. That's not a misspell. I really do believe that's what he's saying, is that the overflowing thanks will not just be coming from our lips. It'll be in the way that we treat one another, that we interact with one another, in our behavior. It'll be there. It'll be appreciation that's overflowing in our living. It'll do that. In fact, the very next chapter, in chapter 3, 12 through 14, the Apostle Paul has this to say. He says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with," what's the word there? "Compassion, kindness and humility, gentleness and patience." Compassion, just to let you know, that's the same word that John uses when he says about the hearts of mercy, the hearts of love. Same word. So if we're God's chosen people, right, we're to be clothed with this. What's that mean? That people are going to see it in our lives. It's going to be part of our everyday lifestyle, okay? He goes on to say this, "Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." Oh, wow. Put up with people? Yeah. Did Jesus put up with some things in our lives? What do you think? He does. Forgiving as we've been forgiven. Boy, that's a tall order, isn't it? That's a tall order. He goes on to say, "And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." So once again, the virtue of love is not, see, just something here that I'm feeling. The virtue of love is in the action. It's in the doing. And that's what Paul is saying. So that's how it connects, see, these attributes with thanks living. Matter of fact, if we read on, we're going to see how the love of God overflows into even more thanksgiving. When there's thanks living and the love of God is producing that, there's going to be even more thanksgiving, even more. I want you to read aloud with the capitalized words. I've emphasized them, okay, in the text I put on the screen, but read those aloud with me. I want to look at one verse at a time, and this is again Colossians 3, verse 15. It says this, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and what? Be thankful." The peace of Christ, what's that? What's that about? We talked about the love of Christ being in us before. Now the peace of Christ. When we have the love of Christ in us, we know that God loves us. We have the thankfulness and gratitude for that. We have peace in our hearts about that, with our relationship with God. It's eternal. It's fixed. It's secure. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God for that. And that brings us peace. And because of that, we should be what? Thankful. Obviously, we should be thankful. He goes on in the next verse, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs." What's the words? "With gratitude in your hearts to God." So with, see, the peace of Christ in us, the love of Christ in us, the word of Christ is in us, what's going to be the result? Thanksgiving and gratitude, right? Gratitude. And the word of Christ, we talked about that earlier, when we understand what God is saying through Jesus to us, what the living word did for us, then that's going to change our perspective, our attitudes in life. We're going to be so grateful for what we have. We're going to be so thankful and content in our circumstances. And we are going to be people who are overflowing again with gratitude. And the next verse says this, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus," doing what? "Giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Whatever you do, see, there's action. Action. You can't separate the two. To say I have faith and no deeds doesn't work. To say I have love in my heart and not show it, not demonstrate it, doesn't work. Because it's not really testing out to be the real deal. I think it's interesting, three times in those three verses, we see the emphasis of hearts full of thanksgiving. And that thanksgiving erupts into thankful living, doesn't it? In speech and action, in prayer and praise, thanksgiving is continually expressed. In whose name? In the name of the Lord Jesus. In His name. So when we think of Thanksgiving traditions, it's okay to think of family, football, and food. But if we're truly thankful for them, we'll pause to think what we should be bringing to the table. And I'm not talking about just another side. I'm not talking about, you know, more dessert. But bring gratitude to the table. True gratitude for His love, and gratitude that will be producing within us a compassion for others and a service for others. If we're truly thankful, we're going to pause to think about, what am I bringing to the table? What am I bringing to the table? Let us offer lives of thanks that move us from a place at the table to a place of service. I wonder if anybody ever did that and shows how to do that. Seems to me I remember in John 13 that Jesus, during the Passover meal, when He instituted what we call the Lord's Supper, as He was doing that, that Eucharist, it's called, that Thanksgiving feast, you might remember He rose from the table and He washed His disciples' feet. You remember that story? Moved from His place at the table to a place of service. And then what He said was this: as I've done for you, do for others. Later on in the chapter, He'd say, as I've loved you, love one another. May we this Thanksgiving express all of our gratitude and praise to God for everything that He's blessed us with. That may already be your tradition, but don't forget to bring to the table a heart that says, God, what do I do with all this gratitude now? What would you have me to do with what you've filled me with? May we be people serving like Christ does. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank You in Jesus' name for Your love and Your mercy and Your grace. Oh, incredible love, mercy, and grace. God, it is true that we all have things to be thankful for, and we have an abundance. Even when we compare ourselves to people elsewhere, we have a whole lot more than we need. Sometimes we wonder about particular things and how we're going to make ends meet, but God, You've been a provider always, and we trust You and lean on You. You will continue to be doing that for us. May we trust You. And realize that part of our gratitude is trusting You. But may it not stop there, Lord. Move us to look at those around us, to open our eyes to those who may be close at hand or far away, but who are in need, and just ask You, God, what would You have me do? What do I have that I can share? What do I have that I can do to bless someone in the name of Jesus so that they might turn and give You praise too and express that gratitude? God, thank You for loving us. Thank You for Your patience. Thank You for Your mercy. Thank You. And those who agree say, amen.